At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America, this is Old School, sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese, Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
There he is. We're back again. One more hour. Jay Foreman, Austin Orman. We're old school to new school way. We just switched the spots there. We went from a lead. He went from point guard to shooting guard, and I went from shooting guard to point guard. But we are brought to you by the Mercado, Certified Piedmontese, Special Grease and Butcher Shop, 84th and Havelock, 30th and Yankee Hill, 85th and Andromat slash Old Cheney, 168th in there in Maple, up there in the O or the Metro. We normally go live from 1040 O Street, but we are live down here actually at the Mandalay Bay pre-Big Ten Media Days in Las Vegas. A lot of excitement in the air, and Las Vegas does everything bigger and better. So we'll see what happens not only tonight, but tomorrow. But there's a lot going on in the, I guess, the league that probably fits Vegas the most. I say the NFL is an entertainment business. And one of the things that has not been entertaining, obviously, as a former player, and then obviously thinking about the future players and the present players, is, I guess, the turmoil inside the walls of the NFLPA. I mean, you can't hide it with the sense of, you know, D. Smith retiring, the hire of the new, you know, executive director seemed kind of shady at best, right? Didn't have a lot of experience in unions and then had some baggage that came with him. Tumultuous, you know, ever since he became, you know, the director for the NFLPA. And then you started to hear, I don't know how it came out that that he like essentially withheld a lawsuit at his previous jobs numerous times. And then was essentially using, and then we had ownership in a consulting company that the NFL used that could get information on NFL owners and ownerships and teams, and just forgot to tell people when everybody signed off for you to be the NFLPA, essentially executive vice president. And then a couple of days after that, when you resigned, you said, "Man, you know what? I was just going to just hang out with the players. I knew exactly where they were going to be at this strip club. And you know what? I need a car service to and from, and I want to use the company credit card because I'm trying to forge some relationship with some of those upstanding players that I know that I'm going to have to meet with in the future at your local strip club establishment. And then JC Trader, who had been very vocal, you know, and leading players into that new CBA, stepped down as well and withdrew his name from any consideration to be the next NFLPA, you know, president or whatever you want to call it, which is probably as interesting or more interesting, the fact that he resigned. So that let me, I guess I'll just assume, and I don't know if it's a safe assumption, that there's some dirt on him too, right? Or would that seem right?
It kind of seems that way. Oh, and let's not forget, with the NFLPA, Jay, this is the same group that was left in the dark by the NFL colluding against quarterbacks, you know, some of the players that the NFLPA is paid to represent. And then, you know, for better or worse, the NFLPA says, you know what? We're going to collude right back. Players, fake your injuries, right? Milk it. It has not been a banner month for the NFL. PA. I thought JC Treader was more popular going into this. It's pretty incredible just how quickly his support dwindled among players. Sure, you always have your backers, former teammates, or guys you cross paths with once or twice. But man, for him to be what kind of felt like the catbird seat to take over this position as a former player himself, to just out of the blue say, nope, I got to get out of here too. whether there's something going on or not, if you look at the optics of it, it's just another, you know, black eye on the NFLPA, and not the whole PA, right? I'm sure there are good people doing good work in there as well. But at the very top, you have Howell being that distracted and Treader feeling the need to follow him right out the door. Yeah, that doesn't strike me as a good sign.
Yeah, it's not been a good couple weeks or a good couple months. And and it wasn't just the quarterbacks getting colluded on. And obviously one of them was the face of the league at a time in Russell Wilson. It was players, mm-hmm. players like myself. And then now as you move forward with the CBA that's got quite a few years left on it, and like I said, the players sold their souls to be able to smoke weed without losing any games or a paycheck. And now you're in this situation. Now you wonder if there could be possibly class action lawsuits that not only go back to the beginning of this, but even predating it. And so it's going to be interesting to see how the NFL and the government that will probably have to come in and rule on it, when it'll be ruled on. It might be 25 years from now. But it's definitely not a good look as far as the NFL as a whole. The owners, Goodell, the NFLPA, even though you guys are, you know, across each other in negotiating lines, you should be working together. You know, whether it's a concussion lawsuit, doctors messing up, surgeries, getting the second or third opinion. There's an article coming out now that the players are able to go back and sue some of the doctors that didn't maybe operate with the utmost clarity as possible, and that, you know, they don't have enough insurance to pay it. So they're losing good doctors or potential good doctors based on being able to be rogue in the previous years. And so you're seeing a power shift, but then also the sad part is the NFL players they don't have guaranteed contracts. They have great benefits, but they're not as good as other leagues. That's just without a doubt. But the NFL is the number one professional sport in the world, and the players get less. Now you have the leadership essentially selling the players down the road. There's questions abound. It's sad, to be honest with you. But, you know, and I think, you know, the big business thing, what maybe Howell was doing, I think that happens all the time. I think that, you know, guys that are union leaders are in bed with the owners. I just think it's bad when you're colluding against players that go put their lives on the line to earn paychecks. And you guys say, you know, we'll work with you owners, not to pay the players the maximum, but you're talking to billionaires about potential millionaires. I think it's just one of the things. It's just never ending. You know, it's hard to see. And I mean, it's funny at the sense of, like, you know, you're recruiting in you know, befriending players at a strip club or strip clubs. And who knows what else, you know, those are probably the two times you use the company card. The other time you say, I'll use my debit card. Why not? I just got a bonus. But then it's not, because there's a lot of guys that affected it by it, because everybody looks at the NFL as super Patrick Mahomes and those guys, Peyton Mannings and all that. Whereas the league is built on a lot of guys that you never hear from again. And a lot of these decisions that were made affect these guys a long term. And so, you know, it'll be interesting to see where it shakes out and what the NFLPA does, not only in the short term, name a new leader and how they go about that process, but then how they get some of the goodwill back for some of the players, you know, moving forward.
Yeah, what does that look like for the NFLPA in terms of earning that goodwill back? Because, I mean, with the way the CBA is written, everything that seems like it's slanted in the owner's favor, with momentum probably sooner and later building for that 18th game in the regular season, only two preseason games. Like you said, the players gave up a lot to get some kind of side benefits that they wanted. It doesn't seem to me like this is a moment, Jay, where the new NFLPA leader needs to come in and make a splash, right? This is my big platform. This is my big decision. I think the biggest splash whoever the next leader can make is just stability. It's just normalcy. Yeah. Just do your job. Show up for your players. Fight for them and what it is that they want. Talk them off the ledge when they think things are, you know, the worst they've ever been. Maybe, you know, kick their butt into gear about some issues that they're behind on. I don't think whoever it is that takes over needs to be some revolutionary, you know, transformative character in NFLPA history. Just go be a normal kind of union rep lawyer type of dude who gets the job done, who goes home and makes things better for your players.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it has to be like some sort of like sexy pick. I think somebody's got to have some sort of experience, and I don't think necessarily it has to be a vast experience, but somebody that knows that, you know, that are really there for the players, but then also is rational enough to understand where the owners are coming from and try to make and understand what's best for the players and the owners and everybody else is best for the league and everybody can win. Somebody that has a good sense of what it's like to be a former player, because I think that also is something that probably gets glossed over. And then obviously somebody that's going to, you know, have enough Tony Clark in their system to understand to stand up on stand on business. And then obviously to right the wrongs of the past. It's not going to happen overnight. And he's going to have to do a lot of goodwill handshaking and talks to people that normally he might not have to when the goodwill was there.
It's funny that you bring up Tony Clark, because Tony Clark has been in the news a little bit in recent weeks as well. He's the executive director of the MLB Players Association, for those who might not know. Ahead of the All-Star game, he was talking to some reporters and says, a cap is not about a partnership. A cap is not about growing the game. A cap is about franchise values and profits. That's what a cap is about. Tony Clark has had some good moments in charge of the MLBPA. But Jay, this is where I think baseball is starting to, even more than normal, see a bit of that divide, right, between the haves and the have-nots. Yeah, right. There's been parity at the end of the season in terms of World Series results just due to the randomness of the game. But what baseball has that the NFL doesn't is guaranteed contracts, right? Yep. There aren't partial contracts. Everything is fully guaranteed in baseball, right? But what does the NFL have that Major League Baseball doesn't? A salary cap. And stuff like that, the guarantees in the salary cap, that leads to work stoppages. That's not something that you just say, oh yeah, we'll just give that up willingly. You know, if you're either side, the owners or the players, that's something that if the NFL, you know, ever wants to, I think, rectify the fully guaranteed money, I don't know about you, but I think players would have to, you know, as a baseline, give up one preseason game for an 18th regular season game. And then for baseball, if they want a salary cap and or a salary floor, maybe baseball ends up, you know, going more the NFL model with the partial guarantees, right? Obviously, the minimum salary, I think, would have to be raised in baseball. But both of those leagues, on top of everything we've mentioned in the NBA over the course of the last few years with that new CBA in the new TV rights deal, things are fine, I think, right, you know, in the general financial landscape in American professional sports of those big three, at least. But man, there are some situations in all three of the CBAs that we have right now in those leagues that have the potential to get dicey and lead to work stoppages down the line.
Yeah, and it's, I don't think, you know, that's ever the solution. You never want to get to that point, but sometimes you got to stand up business, and WNBA is facing it right now. So I think that's just part of these sports. There's billions and billions of dollars, and everybody feels like they have a bigger hand in the success of whatever sport that may be. And I think for me, I'd rather play regular season games if I was asked. I know they're guaranteeing more guys contracts, obviously, in the first round. Okay, well, guys that, you know, sign contracts, you know, have some of it insured, but then also have, you know, like a 5-year contract, the first three guaranteed. Mm-hmm. You know, or some of the, you know, more guaranteed money. And it might be less overall money, more guaranteed years. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That could be the start, and then move forward, and then eventually fully guaranteed contracts. And then longer benefits after you get done playing. Because a lot of, goes without saying, a lot of the stuff in the NFL, obviously, I know, affects you after the first 3 or 4 or 5 years after you get done playing. Your body starts to really deteriorate and break down. So, you know, I think there's the way to get there. It's going to be hard to get the owners to budge, because you've already essentially, like, you know, Memphis gave them everything. You know, they would have let you smoke weed. You could smoke weed. How about not smoke weed and go out there and play,
how
right?
that?
for 16, 17 weeks, or, you know, you only get drug tested once or twice, you know. If you can't pass a Greek mythology test twice and you got the answers, well, then you a dummy. You know what I mean? There's nothing that, you know, that you would like to do that outside of football that's going to affect me getting paid that much. But then you gave away a lot of things that you shouldn't have, which would have brought you up to snuff with all those other major sports, as far as benefit wise. And you missed the opportunity. And the problem is that's different than baseball. And I'll let you go, Austin, is that the top players understand the lower players because they had to come up to the minor leagues. Mm-hmm. The NFL, Jalen Hurts is very, very rational, very, very humble. But a lot of the guys that are top players, they don't associate with the lower players. And the problem with that is when you have reps that are your top players, that's the 1% of the league. The 98.5% of the league is where you need guys to understand. You got to know what the street free agent is thinking about, because that same street free agent could be a guy that eventually bounces around the league and gets vested or breaks his neck or gets misdiagnosed by a team doctor, whether it's directly or indirectly, that needs your help, that needs to know all the benefits and needs the NFLPA to stand on business for them, not only in the present, but in the future. So until that's rectified, these stories will come out and the owners will still keep getting paid and they still will be running you around and running ragged. Right now, listen, these owners, boy, hey, I got to give it to them. They play it a different type of game and they playing it better than anybody else. You ever seen that show Succession?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You think you got him, and you walk out there. He's like, "Man, I thought we got a good deal, but we didn't." That's exactly where they're at right now.
You got played because for a lot of years you worked harder to do less work.
Yeah,
you did more just to do less, and it's really interesting you say that about the top 1% versus the 98-99% down there at the bottom in the NFL. Because think about it, Jay, that's kind of what the NBA was going through there for a while. And we know in the NBA that these max salaries are, you know, getting boosted like crazy, right? With what SGA is making, obviously, Tatum and Brown for the Celtics and their max contracts. There was a time in the NBA that has mostly gone away, and it was never fully gone, but that mid-level exception, that, you know, yeah, trusty veteran that you can trust to play, you know, 18 to 23 minutes per game, guys like that fill out your rotation, we're really going out of style. We're really getting squeezed out of the league because stars got a lot of money. You had the guaranteed, you know, money and years on the rookie deals. And that's pretty much what you were doing. You were looking for either get your superstar or two or three there for a while, fill out the roster with bench players that are cheap, affordable, short contracts, all that sort of thing. And the middle class kind of got squeezed out. Now, it's not perfect, right, because there's not really a mid-level exception in football. There's arbitration in baseball that they go through as opposed to the NFL with, you know, franchise tags and qualifying offers and all that sort of fun stuff. So it's not a perfect one-to-one, but that's, I think, the trap that the NFLPA needs to try to avoid is don't just be all about your superstars who, yes, do bring in a lot of money. But to your point, the 1% might just make 1% of the money. But it's 90-95% of the impact of the day-to-day guys walking around on those rosters, putting in the same blood, sweat, and tears equity as those superstars for less money. You can't afford for the health of the league in the long term to squeeze out those guys that get vested after a while, that come with good perspective, that set the culture, that know their role on a team. That's not going to be healthy for the growth of the league in the long term if it's just stars and scrubs.
Right, because it won't have any longevity in the football. We're seeing it right now where a lot of great athletes are in there, but not a lot of good football. Right, that's where you saw, you know, you know, and you see it in the NBA too, where, you know, the basketball purists are like, this isn't good basketball. You're just running, jacking up threes, and then you get in the playoffs. You try to play basketball like you should. That's the byproduct of it. Like in the NFL, you know, they have like a baseline based on your tenure, you know, say like you play, like for me, you know, 8-9 years, this is what you know, your base salary has to be. And then they had it where it would count a little bit less against the salary cap. But you're still counting as much as about 1.5, 2 rookies. So you, so what I'm saying is this is for the NFL, the NFL's version of a mid-level like exemption or whatever it would be, is if Jay Foreman is an 8-9 year veteran, I want to continue along my career, and Austin is coming in as a either lower rounded rookie or street free agent rookie, priority rookie, and say you're making a third of what my base salary, well, then I let me have the mid-level exemption. I can do it. Maybe you could do it once or twice a career, mm-hmm. that I can come in because I could beat. I know I'm better, right? I know I bring more value. But now you can't use the salary cap, you know, or the amount you have to pay me against me, because then once you perform, you're right back where you're at. Because if you miss that year as a veteran, you're essentially out of the league. Because you're not playing, and then you're bouncing around, and then you're only going to be, you know, brought in for a week or two here, and then you have no chance of actually increasing your value. Essentially, you're waiting, you know, to be put in exile from the NFL.
You're waiting to get retired instead of being able to retire on your own terms, right? I mean, it's one of those things that if you're playing at, you know, 32, 33, and you have to miss one of those years, that's another year of production you could put towards your free agency case for the next year as a resume. It's you know, the lack of those live game speed reps. And I like your idea of maybe, you know, once or twice in a career after your rookie contract, maybe getting that mid-level exemption, whatever it is you want to call it. Because isn't it the case in the NFL, Jay, that a player can only be franchise tagged once? So there would be some precedent for that.
Yeah, and it's a certain levels you can, you know, you could be transitioned and all that. But I think it is. I mean, you got to think like, you know, I always said I would have wished I could have played for, you know, Bill Cowher or even Bill Belichick, but more or less Bill Cowher or Bill Parcells or heck, Andy Reid or somebody like that, and say like, you know, they'd be like, hey, Jay, I want you to come in. I want you to be a veteran presence. I want you to kind of mold a guy, and I could use it that time, you know, to play, hand the reins over, and be in line for a championship. But I get to use my, you know, it's like that thing in the back, you keep in the back of your pocket. It's no different than Damian Lillard going home. It's like, all right, I'm going to get the, you know, good guy, you know, hookup and discount after I put in the work. You see it more in the NBA. You don't see it at all in the NFL. I think that would be a great option for players to extend their career, because as you're asking guys to play more, the more years you can get under your belt increases your benefits. So it's got to be give and take. We talked about what you need from an NFLPA head. You need some, like, I guess, different ideas that might get shot down, but maybe start getting the think tank going on both sides of options to move forward. So guess what, Austin? You never had a work stoppage, but then more importantly, you don't have your leadership and players or whoever your player reps working against you, both internally and externally. With that being said, Jay Foreman, also an old school, the new school way. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to dive into my favorite team out there.